the voices there of some young cheerleaders from a city in Broome County, New York State, outside of Binghamton, a little town called Vestal. If I had stayed there in the 1960s, I would have gone to Vestal High and been one of the Golden Bears. But we moved. My dad then worked at the IBM plant nearby in Glendale. We stayed in the Binghamton, Vestal, Endicott, Johnson City area for about 7 years. IBM actually started near there, and in the years I was in Binghamton, it seemed like a dream city of prosperity, of lovely rivers, of technology and computers, like the very ones my dad designed. We moved, though, and my little kid town moved on from those dreams to epitomize not some Silicon Valley boom, but instead a rust belt bust of declining opportunity, shrinking population, and a prosperity lost and seemingly impossible to regain. It's an all-too-common economic story in the United States, and in this case, for me, it's tinged with some sadness. So I've always wanted to ask someone who could answer it this question. Professor David Sloan Wilson, what happened to what was my hometown there in Binghamton back in the 1960s?
Well, it's that Rust Belt city that you just described so eloquently, but it can improve, and all cities can improve also.
Professor David Sloan Wilson is the author of The Neighborhood Project, which attempts to use evolutionary biological analysis to describe his own neighborhood. He's a professor at the State University of New York, Binghamton. And Professor Wilson, your book really describes a way of looking at how people in times of economic stress, and organisms for that matter, come together in altruistic ways to make their lives better. What did you discover in your own town?
Well, it's a long and fascinating story, but basically it says that evolution, the theory that makes so much sense out of the rest of life, can also make sense out of our lives in a practical sense, and so we can use evolution to make our world a better place everywhere, including my hometown, and altruism and niceness and people doing things for other people is central, basically. We need to understand how does cooperation basically succeed as a Darwinian strategy, and how can we make it succeed more in modern environments?
The notion of social Darwinism applied to human societies can be a little scary. How do you turn that around and make it more benign?
Exactly. I mean, it's a very difficult past, evolution applied to social policy. And it's not just social Darwinism that has a bad reputation. It's social engineering of all sorts. People hate being told what to do, and they hate being coerced. And social Darwinism was a form of coercion in which some people basically manipulated others. What makes the modern application of evolution benign is that it's done by consensus. It's what we want to do. It's basically offering new ideas to people who are considering all sorts of ideas. And it's up to us to accept or reject the ideas.
You describe in your book, The Neighborhood Project, that people view, you know, IBM's sort of rise and fall in the area there as a real sort of external letdown, a kind of a promise that was broken. What have you discovered in your community of people creating maybe smaller promises on their own? Give me a story of some folks working together that actually, as a biologist, you found pretty interesting.
Well, so happy to know that you have a personal Binghamton connection, but the history of Binghamton is one of paternalistic, benign corporations, IBM and then the Endicott Johnson Shoe Company before it, who took such good care of their employees that their employees actually stopped thinking about taking care of themselves. And so when these big corporations left and changed, there was a feeling of betrayal, which is still very much part of the ethos of this city. And part of the solution is to empower people, both as individuals and groups, to manage their own affairs. And that is a tall order, of course, but we have a kind of a blueprint for doing that at all scales, from neighborhoods to schools to any group that's trying to accomplish a shared objective can benefit from these principles.
As a biologist, what's the impact of an external event that shocks the system, like the tragic shooting in Binghamton back in April of 2009, 14 dead, 4 wounded? The sort of stories came out of there were just another depressing story out of depressing Binghamton, but you saw it from a different level.
Well, in the first place, that depressing story is one that's taken place around the world, and Binghamton was only the latest one. So that says nothing about Binghamton. That says something much more grave, basically, about why these things take place, can strike can strike any city. But a shock can sometimes have a silver lining, basically, because what it tells you is that what we're currently doing is not working. And it makes you receptive towards new ideas. And so in that sense, I think the fact that there is so much room for improvement, I think makes people receptive to contemplating new ideas from a new source, one that they're unfamiliar with. That source is Darwin's theory.
And that experience is exactly what Professor David Sloan Wilson saw firsthand in his community of Binghamton. His book is The Neighborhood Project. He teaches evolutionary theory at State University of New York in Binghamton, at Binghamton University. Before we go, is this scalable to other places in the United States, either this inquiry or encouraging people to work cooperatively in an organized way, or even in places like Lagos, Nigeria, where people take matters into their own hands, shanty towns in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil?
Absolutely. It is. What we're doing in Binghamton is a model that can be applied any place. And I also have a think tank called the Evolution Institute, which is formulating policies worldwide. So we're talking about a theory which is so very general that it makes sense of the rest of life and only newly is making sense of the human condition. And so that applies to each and every human situation. The generality of evolutionary theory is something that's taken for granted in biology. But to think that we can actually use this as a lens for thinking about all things human is new for many people, and it's exhilarating both intellectually and practically.
Hope for our species is what you're saying, Professor, eh?
What's that?
Hope for our species, eh?
I believe so. I'm a very optimistic fellow.
Professor David Sloan Wilson is the author of The Neighborhood Project, to look at evolutionary biology applied to his own neighborhood there in Binghamton. He's a teacher at Binghamton University and the State University of New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.